stupid. This little hopper. Shut up.
That's incredible.
I hate that.
You get the benefits of a suit, but the swag of the pajamas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Hell of a hitbox on that branch.
Yeah, really.
Wow. Okay.
So this is good.
That was... I don't know if it's good or not, but it was fucking impressive.
What?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Boma? Friends, gamers, everyone, I hope you are cozy on this surprisingly cold April day. My name's Ruby Hart, and I am one of your hosts for Need for Speed Running, where we talk about video games, friendship, hanging out, and me today being a taped up pile of bones, just like trying to keep it all together. But I'm not the only one who's here. We have so many friends. So, hey, Luigi, how's it going?
Hi. I was a parent for a solid week and then dropped my niece off yesterday. And so I am also taped together using some sort of adhesive.
You're just not sure of what. It's sticky. You're sure of that.
Yeah, it got the job done.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, it's probably duct tape. For you, it's like the crafting glue, like sparkles. You don't know how sparkles got there, but
and a hell of amount of snot.
They've been there for years. It's never coming out.
Yeah. So what are you taped together with right now, Brad? How's it going?
Well, it's great. I've had a busy week between family Easter, which doesn't involve relaxing. It involves eating five times as much as normal and then playing tag with my nieces and nephew on. It was the biggest, coolest playground ever. And I thumped my head pretty hard, but no one noticed. So that's good. So my muscles feel like Hugh Jackman as the Wolverine, but outside I look like a big pile of duct tape held together with mud and dust and just leftover beer cans, but I like video games, so that's cool.
That is cool.
I actually, you know what I really am? I am just a big pile of Balatro right now. It has become a problem. My wife is probably very tired of the Balatro at this point, but I can just a couple more runs, you know?
You know. Yeah, I've been putting off getting that. I need to, though.
It's the most addicting game I have ever played.
Okay.
What is it?
It's a roguelike deck builder.
It's kind poker of, roguelite. Like, that's the best. That's the elevator pitch. It's roguelite poker.
It uses the terminology of poker in a way that makes it approachable in the hand types, but really it's kind of more based on this other game. I forget the name of it. We just did an episode on it. It's about... You have like 10 cards. You need to make the best poker hand possible, but there's 150 different jokers that you can get at different times to change how your scores are tabulated or have different effects. So that's like when you get your different gods in Hades, you get different jokers that build up together.
Joker boons.
It feels like Inscription, like something's going off the rails, but it never does. And it's just a whole lot of fun. And it is the fastest car ride you will ever have, I swear. But don't get it if you have an addictive personality.
Thank you for the Hades comparisons, because that at least I can compute.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to. I'm tired and happy is what my tagline is right now.
Tired and happy. Hobbs, are you tired and happy, or are you taped together? Because it seems like we're going one or the other direction today.
I am taped together by PAX lanyards and baggage tickets. You know, the little baggage claim strips that they put on your bag, the tags. I'm tired and happy, but also taped together for sure. Was out at PAX recently, which was very fun. GDQ had like a room this time, and it was actually more space than when we've not been in a room, even though like in the past we've had like this big open area. It's actually even more space. Really cool. We had a lot of really sick runs. A lot of people came by and tried out our speedrun gauntlet setups, which were super neat and a hit as always. So that was fun. That was cool. I got to go back to Boston, have some, go to this pizza place that fucking rocks. I like, there's just this one pizza place that's just got the perfect vibes, you know, like it's just far enough away.
Yeah, you got to tell us the name.
Oh, my God. OK, I didn't know if we were naming names. Pastoral Artisan Pizza. Check them out if you're in Boston.
OK.
Not sponsored whatsoever. I just think they're great.
We shout out businesses if we're like, hey, their food slaps.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We were there for like 5 days and went at least twice. Like it might have been three times. I don't remember. So and the same thing happened.
So
last
good.
Year.
You'll lose track of how many times you've been here.
Yeah, because they got good beer. They've got good vibes, like music and the kind of atmosphere is chill. And
pizza sucks.
No, and their pizza is also great, and because it's like brick oven, or you know, it's like wood fire pizza, not brick oven, but wood fire. And they are also, their service is so fast. Like it's like for a sit down place, it's shocking how fast the service is. And it like sometimes you just really need that, especially for something like PAX where like everybody's going everywhere. So every place you go to is like, we're going to be like an hour and a half wait, you know, or we're going to be a 20 minute wait. And then it takes an hour. And this place told us we're going to be a 45 minute wait. Not 1 minute later, we had our table.
So, all right.
Because they were just like, they had so many, you know, they're just going to turn people around.
Maybe you don't remember how many times you've been because there is a literal time distortion field yeah, within exactly. the building.
Exactly.
Or you were speed running pizza.
I do that with a lot of food, yeah. Unfortunately.
But no, PAX was fun. And now I'm just busy and back in meeting hell and stuff like that. So
I have an idea for next year's April Fool's episode. We missed it this year. Need for Speed Eating. We're going to watch the dude eat 50 hot dogs in 5 minutes and do a commentary.
Write that down. We should actually. Oh, my gosh. Somebody remind us on like March 16th next year.
That's on the listeners. If they want it, they got to remind us.
Also, side note, I know we talked about a few holidays. Can I say amazing that this year, Astara, Easter, and Trans Day of Visibility all on the same day?
I thought that was funny, too. I heard a lot of people, or I saw a lot of people just say, like, yeah, you just watch The Matrix and you celebrate all the holidays. You celebrate Easter and Trans Day of Visibility at the same time.
That's true.
Happy whatever you celebrate. I was just at home because okay, so the reason I am a taped up pile of bones, I told you all about my broken toe, right?
Yeah. You talked about it last episode.
Oh no, it's spreading.
It's spreading, by God. I went on a trip with my partner's family to Ireland. A bunch of their lineage is from there, and like we saw the country. I was taking good care of it. I was using wheelchairs everywhere. So like we were seeing the countryside. We were seeing some of the sights, but being very careful, like every step of the way. The issue came in at the airports because they don't let you steer the wheelchair yourself or have someone in the party. They have like staff in the airport specifically for that. The person who was steering the wheelchair when I got to the airport nearby, without missing a beat, basically as soon as I got into it, she whips the wheelchair around. My foot almost smacks directly into the wall. I only dodge because I happened to see, and I lifted my leg up. The entire family, mortified, just makes eye contact with me like, no. And I was like, hey, that's my broken foot. Maybe we don't do that.
Maybe.
My broken foot.
Hi.
This woman was so careless that she was whipping me through the airport. Every muscle in my body was tense. I had like three or four close calls like that. And
you're in a wheelchair, not a race car.
Yeah. And like, I was so far ahead of my party and the entire family was nervous. I was nervous. And many times when you get into elevators, they'll just push you straight on and then pull you out backwards. So
oh.
She puts me on this elevator because we're trying to go up to baggage. The family says, hey, we don't want to crowd it too much, so we're going to go down the escalator. But then after they leave, my partner's behind me because they're the only one who really fit. But then this lady goes, no, come, come, and invites a bunch of people onto the elevator, one of which had a heart shell.
I'm lonely.
Oh, no.
Can you guess where this is going?
Suitcase. Hooray. Right into ankle or something.
She whips my foot around. Instead of pulling me straight back, she whips me to the side. My broken toed foot smacks into this person's wheelchair, and it is one of the most agonizing pieces of pain I have ever felt in my life. My partner describes it as a noise that they have never heard come out of my body.
No.
And this woman kept trying to push me back into the wheelchair and be like, no, it's okay.
Oh, we're going to fit.
Then I started having an anxiety attack and was like, no, maybe don't touch me. I got the crutches, went across the room, and then she proceeds to be like, well, did anyone else see it?
Oh, my God.
And try and gaslight me into saying that it didn't happen.
Oh, God.
And we got the x-ray a few days ago, and I found out that before it was just a fracture, and I had already been 3 weeks into the healing process. Not only is the fracture worse now, and the doctor said, oh, this looks like a brand new injury, so my timer has reset, so I may not even be healed by the time SGDQ comes around. On top of that, I now have to see someone in orthopedics because literally, like, things have bent in ways they shouldn't be bent.
Oh, no.
So that's the story of how Ireland and getting to know Jamie's wonderful family ended with me now on day three or four of my 6 weeks of being laid up. And we have put me on intentional house arrest because we did everything we could, but we can't control the idiots in the world.
Oh, that sucks.
That's the story of how we thought about suing another country.
Except it sounded like it happened on this end of things, which is unsurprising.
It sure did. No, it was America. You know, Ireland was great.
I mean, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Literally, the only people I had issues with were in America. If that's saying anything.
RNG, it comes for every speedrunner, whether you're speedrunning
or not. Oh, like she was speedrunning through the airport.
Yeah, apparently I was just becoming too powerful for the universe, and it's like, no. Take a minute.
Speaking of Neo in the Matrix, to balance you out, apparently.
Yeah. So, hooray. Yeah. But I've been playing a lot of Dicey Dungeons, and I introduced a young gamer in Jamie's family to Solar Ash. Nice. He introduced me to Warframe.
Good.
Oh, Warframe's so cool.
Oh, yes, Warframe.
Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it, but I've only played it on, like, the small screen Switch because we were overseas, and it's very hard to control, so I really want to see it on a big screen. I feel like it's going to play much better there.
It was one of those games where I was like, I told my friends, hey, just tell me where to go. Like, I have fun moving around and, like, vaulting my way across the map, but I don't know what I'm doing and what we're doing here, so just let me know.
Yeah, I think I played that with some friends, like, once, and the exact same thing. I was like, oh, you can move really cool and stuff, but I don't know what the heck's going on. It'd be like trying to get into Destiny today, I feel like, or Path of Exile today. It's like you kind of need a sage to guide you through the process, and then if you could get past that hump, you probably can have thousands of hours of fun. But yeah.
There are plenty of sages out there too.
Oh, they
will be eager to get you into their favorite thing in the world.
Definitely.
That's the wonderful thing about gamers. You say, oh, I've never played that game. Is it good? And they go, let me show you the world. Please take it.
Who else has been playing a game?
I was going to say, so Dicey Dungeons, things like that over here. Anyone else playing anything new?
Elatro is Brad's religion.
One of my favorite video game experiences of the past 10 years is happening right now, called Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Okay.
I am just head over heels with the combat system, with the world design, with the acting. It's so many really good decisions that they're making for this reinventing of. It's a sequel. It's not a remake, but whatever it is. I'm enjoying it so much. And just the fact that a little handheld poker game trumps it. And I go there sometimes instead. I read this book a long time ago about Tetris, the Tetris effect, and about how people would get obsessed with the Game Boy game and they couldn't put it down until they beat it. And once they beat it, it was like someone just removed shackles and they're like, okay. And after beating Balatro once, when I say that, I mean getting through gold stake difficulty, I was able to kind of breathe for the first time in 2 weeks in this really weird way. So I've been playing some more Rebirth, which is really fun, and it's a long game. And I was invited to speak on a panel at the Midwest Gaming Classic this weekend.
And yeah.
That will be very fun. It's with Watch Out for Fireballs and the Retronauts, and that will be a great time. And we're talking about adaptations, good, bad, and weird. So my brain is all full of Street Fighter movie and Cuphead right now, which are the two topics I decided to talk about. Gonna talk about
watch some bad Uwe Boll movies.
You know, I didn't want to just go to cringe and bad, which is the really easy, like fun to laugh at stuff.
Yeah, but that's because like we were alive 10 years ago and it's been 10 years and people forget about just how awful that person is. And well, so, yeah,
I'm bringing up Street Fighter, the movie, the game, an adaptation of an adaptation, which is two layers deep. And there's a lot of really good stuff there. And then I'm going to talk about the Cuphead dice rolling board game, which is super fun, and the TV show a little bit. So my brain is very full and it needs to evacuate some of this stuff. So I'm anticipating a fun, busy week and busy weekend. That's what I've been up to.
Cool.
Nice. My brain is just full of Kingdom Hearts 2 randomizer, like logic puzzles.
That's my Hobbs. That's the most Hobbs thing you've ever said.
Yeah. Well, so we have a league going on. I don't think this really came up much in the last episode, but we've got a league going on right now where we had, you know, some qualifier seeds that people were all doing for KH2 Randomizer. Basically, the idea is just we have an agreed upon set of settings that were picked by like the league organizers, and we're just all playing those settings. And we did some qualifier seeds, and now we're in a Swiss round, which basically means like we're playing. I have five matches in this round. This will date the episode for anybody watching the stream, but I won my match today that made me 3-1 so far. So I got one more to go in Swiss. I'm pretty happy about that because last league, I think I got knocked out in like going like 1-2 or something in Swiss because it was also a shorter round. And if I win one more, then I clinch my spot in the bracket round. And if I lose my next one, then I have to play a tiebreaker game to get a spot in the bracket round. So I've been excited about that. It's been fun. The settings have been neat. There's like some things about them that I would maybe personally change and stuff, but they're based on this path hints thing, which basically means that like as we get deeper into the various worlds, we get points that unlock hints, and the hints are not like, hey, this item's here or this proof's here. It'll say that the items you pick up in a given world will help guide you towards this proof, or it will help guide you towards a different proof, or no, or all three of them, or none of the proofs, and the proofs being the big things that we need to get to beat the game.
So they've done so much work on the KH2 randomizer that they're now like making bespoke hints for the logic.
This is game design, basically. like it is the hints. The whole idea is that the items you pick up, their vanilla locations in like the base game are like where they point you, basically. So if you get a hint for a world that says it's on that it has no path to the light, it does not point to any proofs, and then you find like a fire there, then you know, okay, the three worlds that you get fire in the base game do not have a proof in them. And it's just this really interesting, fun logic puzzle.
Okay.
It's extremely hard to explain, especially in an audio only format and even in a video format, like for viewers. So I always feel bad for people who are like new to it, because it's really hard to kind of get it across. But It is one of the most fun ways to play the randomizer in a competitive setting, because you're really having to like try to notice all of these little like edge cases and stuff like that to eliminate various worlds. And then on top of that, like, even if you've eliminated a world from having a proof, it still might have an item you need in order to get through the world that you need a proof out of. So like, it just becomes this really complex routing puzzle that's almost kind of like bingo in a way, of like, I know that these are the objectives I need to complete, but like, how can I get the tools I need to do those objectives? So I need to maybe go do these other objectives, which I could do Land of Dragons or I could do Olympus Coliseum right now. Which one is the better value proposition for my current, you know, for the current point in this race where I'm in? And then on top of that, you have the other layer of you have an opponent and you might be able to think of how they play. And like, do you want to play again, you know, a different way than they'll play? Because if they play their way, you think they're going to win or something. So it's just like really tricky, but it's been very fun. And I'm excited for it. And I've been also like kind of working on a little secret project that it's inspired me about. And I don't have anything to share about that right now, but it is still related to KHG Randomizer. And I hope that eventually that will get done. It'll be very fun.
Good. The first thing I was going to say is, can we have a hint? And then you gave us the big hint. So
yeah, it's still KHG Rando related, but it's just it's an idea for some future league stuff that I think would be really fun. If it ever gets to an MVP status, then I'll talk more about it. I was working with like the designer of the seed generator as well. So we got some interesting ideas. It'll be neat.
Ooh.
Sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Luigi, what's your gaming life been like? Unicorn Overlord?
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's all it is. That is life. That's probably all I'll be doing this year. There's that much, like...
Yeah.
I don't know quite what is left in the game. I've mostly explored the map. I'm still dicking around. It just seems like there's so much, like, left I can do. But I don't know. I don't know what the story is going to have. I'm nowhere near the level cap. I don't know. It's great. It's someone was like, I'm not a huge Fire Emblem fan. There's a lot of Fire Emblem mixed into this. I liked Three Houses enough, but like the older ones feel, I was saying this in Brad's Discord, that the older ones really feel scripted in a way where it's like, you know, you could use these units if you want to, but like if you do it that way, you're going to have a pile of dead bodies and you have permadeath in that game. And so like it almost feels like there's an acceptable way to play Fire Emblem. And I don't like that. And this game is not that. And so like the things that they took from Fire Emblem are cool and I like them. You're not like having kids and there's not like generations like in that one, but there is a little bit of, you know, relationships and I haven't seen them like team up and do team attacks, which I'm very upset about. That's one of my favorite things about Ogre Battle, but yeah, there's just so many possibilities.
I always liked combo attacks in Tactics Advance, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance combo attacks. I thought were neat. Like it's only one type of thing basically, but it was still neat. It'd be cool to see that fleshed out.
Like I would like to see more of that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I don't think it's here. But what is here is I don't know. It's a toy box. I can play with it forever, really.
6 months from now, you're going to be like, it's here. Do you all remember what I was talking about in episode 33?
I found it.
It's here.
They looked at each other. They winked, and then they combined ice and fire together and blew up the other team. And it was great. I mean, my main character got married. I don't like my main character very much. I don't really care much for the story. It's kind of like, okay. It serves as an excuse to like give you new units.
I was about to ask you about the story, because I've heard you talk a lot about the gameplay, but not a ton about the story. And personally, like sometimes I'm kind of for that, especially in a game like what you're playing. Like I don't need the story that's going to like add an extra 20 hours to this. Like I kind of just want the gameplay to be the thing that sings.
I mean, it has a story. Say, like,
I don't know anything about the game, but my brain, for some reason, just mixes Fire Emblem and Pony Island aesthetically. Whenever I try and picture what Unicorn Overlord is, I'm guessing it's not that.
It's not the Pony Island. Are there a lot of ponies running around?
Well, yes, and also satanic demonic figures.
Yeah, Pony Island's the like inscription precursor.
Those are there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there are satanic imagery. Yes,
great. Love it.
Yeah, no, it's just it's you basically just have multiple JRPG parties walking around as one. You have like five of those parties moving around the map, fucking shit up, getting into fights with other parties. And they're you basically the way you set them up is how they will act. Like I don't choose their turns for them while they're fighting. It just goes. And so you watch your toys fight. And the nice thing about in this one, you can tweak things on the fly, whereas in Ogre Battle, you basically when you get into a mission, your squads are set. There's not much you can do once you're fighting. But in this, I can be like, okay, that didn't work. You're all going to die. Let me like move you to the back row from the front row to the back. So you're not getting killed as much by this one unit just for this fight. And you guys will survive and actually like win. And so that you're not like, cause when you lose, you don't die. You just get pushed back and you're kind of stuck for a second. And that limits what you're able to do with that unit for a little while. And 20 seconds of in-game time is a lot because everyone else is getting into fights. And so they're going to be there for a little while. And I don't want that to happen. And so any way I can like, you know, maybe feed them some thing to get their defense a little better just for one battle or just something I can do so that they do just a little bit more damage than the other team so that they're not fucked for a little while. And like, it's just those constant little problems happening everywhere. And the amount that you can just tweak on the fly is crazy in a way that just like, oh, this is everything I ever wanted from Ogre Battle. Yes, nice. I want to be able to do all of these things. And then open world map, just stuff happening all the time, things to look for. Yeah, it's great. There's really just stuff dope. Everywhere. I spend as much time in the world more time in the world than I do fighting.
Very cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Also, I realized something as you were talking, Luigi, that I'm a liar. And there is one other game I played in the last few days that is incredible.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of Suck Up?
No.
I feel like I heard about it recently, but I don't remember.
Card game you learn at camp.
It does, but not at all it. So
okay.
This one I was introduced to on TikTok. So it's basically a game that is super indie. The art is adorable. It's in beta right now. And it's the first like really big super ethical AI usage that I've seen in a game like this. So the idea is that you play a vampire. And you can wear different disguises and outfits. So you could dress like Santa. You could dress like a little kid or like a tax collector.
The Easter Bunny.
And you go to people's doors and basically try and befriend them and get them to invite you inside so that you
can know them. It's Papers, Please, but more people die.
Well, the aesthetic is very like, oh, it's an adorable 3D neighborhood. Like it's very, very cute. And the only reason they use the AI is so that the conversations feel real. So like their responses are a little bit more natural.
Well, games have been using AI forever. Like games are half the reason AI is as far as it is. So like, yeah, that's nothing new there really.
Absolutely. I think that more the reason I'm saying it with this in particular is there's so much of a conversation about specifically like AI generated writing happening in the moment and not just like the programming. But this one, like it's really smart how they're using it. And it's like to supplement the art, not to like replace someone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
stealing from a bunch of other art.
Right.
Exactly. So that's more what I meant. But it's absolutely hysterical. I have never played a video game where it was like, oh, voice act and say ridiculous things and then hear them say weird crap. So like you'll look into a window to try and get a vibe of like, oh, OK, this is a sweet little old lady. Maybe I should like ask about her garden or this, that and the other. there was one lady in like a pantsuit and glasses. And I was like, oh, God. OK, so we got a Karen looking woman. I go around the corner. Her name is Karen. And her personality is Karen. And everyone else, I was able to get in after one or two tries. It's like five or six with this woman. So don't design me. Don't design me. They also have another game mode that they just added recently called Love Bites. And you're a vampire, but it's at a Valentine's ball and you're trying to break up couples. And at first I was like, oh, do I just make up things? But then I realized, wait a second, a lot of these are based on real characters. So I would just go to the characters as a therapist and be like, hey, Belle, you realize that he trapped your father and then held you hostage for many, many years. And this is Stockholm Syndrome. Or, hey, Elizabeth Bennet, this man who you say you're in love with literally started off the entire relationship by constantly insulting you in front of your entire family and circle of loved ones. Is that you want to be loving? And basically just me being like, all right, I'm going to be the therapist for the fictional characters. And it was incredible.
Very fun.
Mm-hmm. Another game that I feel like we should all talk about. So I've been trying to learn more Archipelago games, and I really want to add Tunic and Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time to my list. And I've been hearing that there are a lot more developments happening in the Legend of Zelda speedrunning world. So how do y'all feel about maybe watching some Legend of Zelda Wind Waker today?
Ooh.
Okay.
I recognize the gentleman from Hobbs.
I know I'm like not the Zelda guy, but are we doing another fucking Zelda episode? Like another one?
Hobbs, man, it's okay, man.
It's only been
actually done
10 months.
I feel like it's like every episode. And maybe it's just because of Luigi here just constantly getting on my nerves about it and berating with, you know,
I haven't played a Zelda game since October, man.
Tears of the Kingdom is all I hear from him. It doesn't matter. There are no other games that exist. We definitely haven't talked about
it. I really don't like that game, honestly.
I'm sick of this Zelda shit.
Amazing. What are you talking about, Hobbs?
I don't think I could do it anymore.
Hobbs, I get it.
Oh, come on.
Listen, you know what, if you gotta do it, fine. But I'm out. I don't want to do it this time. I'm not talking about Zelda. I just don't want to do it.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about Zelda this time.
I mean, I will admit that Wind Waker is very overrated, but
whoa, I've never heard that.
See, and then Luigi has to go say something that I have no fucking context for because I didn't have a Nintendo when I was a kid. You see, it's elitism. That's what it is. It's elitism. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
It's goddamn Nintendo. Zelda lovers. You Mario and Zelda lovers. Oh, I had a SNES because my parents loved me as a kid. You know, I just can't have it anymore. I'm out. shit. I broke him with that one. I couldn't hold it. I'm gone. If you want to play, you know, you talk about Zelda, fine, but I'm gone. See ya. I'm not doing it today. Bye.
So we scared away Hobbs.
Hobbs is so sensitive about Legend of Zelda. I just can't even handle it. Honestly, if we're gonna be talking about the Triforce, I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I get, you know, children love Kingdom Hearts, and this is not a game for children.
This is an adult game with a kiddie design, whereas Kingdom Hearts is a kiddie game with an adult design featuring Donald Duck.
Right. Yep. This game has things to say about child soldiers.
And Tingle.
And really, it's appropriate. You know, the three parts of the Triforce, the three of us here, we're really just trying to get into character for The Legend of Zelda. Now, this particular game that we're going to be talking about, so Wind Waker, I am not only a huge fan of this game, so I easily put it in my top five Legend of Zelda games ever.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I love the art style. I know when the game first came out, it was this whole controversial thing. Mm-hmm. I adore it, and I think that out of a bunch of the other Legend of Zelda games, it's one of the ones that's actually aged the best.
Yeah.
And I have seen a few speedruns of Wind Waker, and it's always hysterical to watch, but I haven't seen a run in like a year or two at this point. So like, I don't know how updated it is. Luigi, do you have any ideas?
I am unsure. You know, we'll be watching the HD. At least I put forward we watch the HD version. It's I don't know, because like with the Zelda speedruns, or especially this game and Ocarina, there's so much tech. There's so many different things you can do to break it, and then there are so many different categories. Like, you know, we could watch any percent restricted or unrestricted, and that still allows like some glitches, I think. And so, like, who knows what like we'll get to see, if we'll get to see super swimming, or because I don't know that much about it. God, like to know all there is to know about a single Zelda speedrun is like would be most of your time spent with that game. Like,
absolutely.
But you have a pretty good knowledge base, I would think, of Wind Waker in general.
I would think so. What we're gonna see, like I will be able to know what we're gonna see, I guess. So I just don't know what we're gonna get. So I do love this game. I said some mean things about it earlier, but I pre-ordered this game. I was obsessed with it. I have thoughts on it 20 years on, but yeah, I still love this game. I was very excited to cover it when we did on the Chat of the Wild, the Zelda show I used to do. But I got to the end of that season, was like, was not expecting to feel this way about this game, but I do. But it's also, you know, it's one of those games where how can you not love it? It looks great. It sounds great. It plays great. It may have some of my favorite combat of any 3D Zelda game up until, you know, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. And, you know, like in some ways, I think what they did with Twilight Princess, where they gave you all those cool moves that you don't really end up using. Mm. Whereas in Wind Waker, they give you the parry thing. But like you can easily do crowd control in this game. Whereas in like Twilight Princess, not so much. You can pull out your different weapons. I don't know. There's something good about the way the fighting just feels in this game. And I think it goes for a long way of just how replayable it is, and how like it really tough it is to argue with how good it is.
Yeah. And I would say like, there are some Zelda games that I'll go back and realize, wait a second, I don't actually remember that much of this. Like the visual style wasn't as memorable to me, or the story wasn't as strong. Wind Waker, like, is, I can immediately visually pull up what that is, immediately pull 8 different moments in dungeons that I adored, or cutscenes. Twilight Princess, I kind of have to replay it if I want to remember more than like 1 or 2 moments, because like Midna is the one thing that really stands out to me from that game.
Very striking. But yeah, the rest of it is I don't know, just kind of blurry. I get it. So it also smells like beef ramen to me, but that's because I was super poor and only eating beef ramen when I played that game. So
that's fun.
It's really wild to go back to it 15 years later and be like, oh God, the taste is still there.
Yeah. I have never played Wind Waker, not a second of it. Ooh. I've only ever beaten one 3D Zelda game, and that's Breath of the Wild.
It's a good one.
It's feels bad to say things out loud sometimes, and that felt bad to say out loud. I don't want to say that I was one of those people that saw the art style and said, this game doesn't look like it's for me, but when did Wind Waker come out? Like
2003.
There was a lot of games on my radar at that point, and I was just at a different stage playing a lot of Halo, drinking Mountain Dew and Resident Evil, you know?
It's very real.
Completely like, fair, yeah.
The Zelda...
If I could tell freshman Brad things, there'd be so many things I'd tell him. I'd grab his little mustache and say, come on, play your GameCube more, dude.
It's all right. Time fell on the GameCube side. And it very much was not the case when it was out and current.
Yeah.
The Zelda thing was real. It was very confusing to me. I guess I just didn't care, I guess. I was like, it's really good. They're like, it looks like it's for babies. But that was the whole GameCube. The GameCube was, like, not cool at all. Like, I was ridiculed for bringing it to my dorm room freshman year. Really? So,
and then
yeah.
You brought out Smash Brothers or Mario Kart, and it was like, oh, it's fine.
No, I brought out the NES, and then everyone hung out. Nobody wanted to touch that GameCube. Not
Seriously?
Even Smash. No, nothing.
Okay, that's bad taste, first of all.
It was the zeitgeist, like Halo LAN parties. Like, no, that's Zelda. New GameCube? Nobody gives a shit about the GameCube. So time has changed.
No, the art style has stood the test of time for sure. People mm-hmm. feel so fondly of Wind Waker when they talk about it. I've seen a little bit of it. I remember seeing it at a GDQ, and I remember Link moving very odd and not using a boat, which I think goes against the idea of the game. I think I remember him flying over the water at some point, but I could be misremembering. I'm excited to see what happens, too, because I don't really know a lot of what's going to happen, but I imagine bombs will be thrown. There will be various items picked up and some... grade A fuckery. If the Legend of Zelda speedruns I've seen, there will be some very weird movement, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I will say that, like, when I was still very early into learning about speedrunning, the first runs I looked up were a few Legend of Zelda games, so, like, Ocarina of Time, things like that, and Shadow, obviously. Wind Waker was one of the very early speedruns I saw, and it was specifically a Linkus 7 run, who was really well known for doing Wind Waker at charity events, and does a great job, like does a really, really solid job. And
Linkus is great.
Oh, yeah. And within the first like 3 minutes, I remember sitting there and I hadn't been fully convinced about speedrunning quite yet. This was only my second run I was really watching. And I see this guy just going back and forth. For like 3 minutes. I'm like, what is going on?
And then
the moment the first trick kicks in, do you remember the very first episode that I actually was on, like the Halo Combat Evolved, where we were all giggling like children at some of the headshots? That was me the entire rest of the Wind Waker run anytime I saw the super swim. So that may end up like just happening and coming out of me, but like, I absolutely agree. The tech in Legend of Zelda games, and especially this one, is absolutely wild. And because Legend of Zelda games, Mario games, are constantly being run, there are always new developments happening. So, Luigi, this could be a very different animal than anything you and I have seen. Who knows?
Yeah. The thing that makes this game, like, almost glaring is, you know... It is the ocean, because in other Zelda games, you know, it's just open land and you're like, well, of course they found a way to get through that door into this thing. And when you don't have a conception in your head for what it could look like the first time you see someone just swim across half the map, that just it lets you know what you're in for, like right away. Like, this isn't just like I hopped a fence. Like, this is I did something that is impossible and managed to do it while like Link is going to drown. Like he's gagging, he's coughing. He's about to go under and they walk up on shore.
That super tight timing, yeah.
It's just very like that, like there's no hiding how messed up this run gets. It's right there in front of you.
In the best way possible, in a way that's like fathomable, in a way that actually like you can watch and even slightly comprehend what's happening. When I mean is like there are definitely glitches happening, but they don't take you so far out of bounds that you're just like, I don't understand
Sometimes.
What I'm looking at. But like
Super
this
Swim,
one,
definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the times it does go out, like it's just long enough where you still like can have fun with it and not be like, oh, and we're out of bounds always. I will say I do, Luigi, have one thing that I don't like about Wind Waker. Like one thing that bothers
one
me
thing?
About it.
Just
yes.
one thing?
Just one thing. So oh, okay. I would be very curious to hear what some of the things that like didn't work for you were. For me, it was just like when I went back to play it, I was like, oh, the dungeons are so great. Like, the graphics are so cool. And then I forgot about the fact that Tetra, who is not white, becomes white when transforming into Zelda, which is very confusing.
Yeah, they do that.
That's the one thing I was like, oh, I forgot about that
and
part.
And then they take her away and hide her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they definitely do that. I don't think the dungeons are very great in this game, but that's just me. Anyway.
maybe they'd be great if we saw them in 10 seconds done in that fast a time.
Yeah,
maybe.
You know what? Probably. I would
I'm
be
very
cool
excited
to see that. That would be great for me.
Because, like, when I drive through Nebraska, it's fine for 10 seconds.
Right.
It's the rest of the 10 hours that gets bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That the same way with me in Alabama. It's like, you're like, Kentucky, woo, Tennessee, woo, and then you're in hell for 10 hours.
Well, the nice thing is, I believe that the run we were going to look at today was an any percent, right, Luigi? Or am I wrong?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So God knows. I don't even remember how they get there in this one. It's down to 45 minutes. We do have barrier skip, I assume, which is funny that, like, when you actually get the thing to trigger what you do to skip the barrier, it was like there's not even a barrier there, like 10% of the time. And there's no one knew that. It's like, oh, cool. And it's this, like, legendary thing that, you know, it's the one-day cycle in Majora's Mask level of if we could just get past this, all of our problems would be over. It's hilarious. Well,
I can't wait see it. And I was going to say, I need to pull up the actual, like, category and the runner.
Yeah. Yeah, let's figure out, like, what makes this. We're going to watch the 45 minute one.
Yeah. So for everyone who might be new to the podcast, the way this works, what we're about to do is we will go ahead and we're going to take a break here.
What?
We are going to take a break, and I completely lost my train of thought because.
Oh, sorry.
You're
completely fine. Be professional. Damn it, Luigi, be professional.
No. I have an awful memory. Hang on. So I was talking about...
What we're going to do.
Let's
get our nitrous.
Yes, we're going to take a break. If you are one of our patrons, then we are going to go ahead and watch this Any% run of The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD. So please join us for that. And you can listen along with us to our live commentary. And when we come back, we'll be able to talk about it with all of you lovely people. We also have a ton of executive producers and patrons. So to anyone who is a patron of the show, thanks so much for supporting us and going on these high seas adventures with us.
That's right.
The run we're going to be watching is The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD. It's the world record for any percent unrestricted by Mr. Alberto 23.
Okay.
With a time of 45 minutes and 16 seconds.
Cool.
Heck yeah. But have fun watching the run. We'll see you on the other side.
Bob said there was a chance he might come back.
He said if enough people check out our Patreon and try the free trial, which is free, he said he'd consider coming back to the show.
That would be pretty amazing. I mean, listen, we may have scared Hobbs off with all of our Legend of Zelda love.
Well, I think it's because he's afraid of boats. I heard that he doesn't like water. I've only ever seen him drink alcohol, so I don't know if he drinks water.
Now, dear listener, we have an internet challenge for you. Find a picture of Hobbs with water. To settle this.
Please find pictures of Hobbs with water. Or Photoshop them. Photoshop them to and send them to us.
And then
please.
What you do is you're going to go to patreon.com/possiblybad. And you're going to sign up. Or for the week trial, really. That's all you really need to do is for the week trial. So you get into the Discord. Post pictures of Hobbs with water. Because as far as we're concerned, he's afraid of it. And that's why he's not here.
And we want you to not put a context for the picture. Just send the picture and caption it Hobbs with water, and we never will tell him what it's about, and we'll see when he gets it.
Mm-hmm. That will be incredible. I cannot wait, because now I'm realizing I have seen him with pretzels. I have seen him with alcohol. I have seen him with Red Bull.
A lot of pretzels.
Never water. Never. Maybe he's like the Wicked Witch of the West. It would melt
I think
him.
We're onto something here, guys.
I think so.
So yeah, that is the water percent challenge to you, our listeners. And included in that challenge is the challenge to get your free week trial over at patreon.com/possiblybad.
It's free. Why not try it?
Yeah. You listen to our commentaries. Go check out some speedruns that we've watched before with us losing our minds on some great, great speedruns. And we're about to lose our mind on Wind Waker.
Yes.
And you'll be able to hear that too.
Let's go.
Hooray.
Let's do a Hobbs sink.
Hobbs sink.
It's funny because he won't go by sinks because of water.
Right. That's where they live.
Oh! Welcome back to Need for Speed Running. I hope that you enjoyed watching that Breath of the Wild. What am I doing? We were talking about doing two Breath of the Wilds earlier.
Maybe Hobbs was right. Maybe we have been talking about too much Zelda.
There's too much Zelda. No such thing.
I'm a taped pile of bones. Apparently it extends to the brain.
Hey, you guys want to watch Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, so we watched Breath of the Wild. It's basically a remake of The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD. which, Brad, I know that you were the one person who had never seen a Wind Waker run. You've never played it. So I would love to hear your perspective and like what watching that was for you.
I would say that is maybe my favorite speedrun we have watched on this show.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was such a fun, very easy to watch speedrun. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got the really crazy super swim technique. It's got some simple fun things like jumping around a boulder you're supposed to blow up. Fun little sequence breaking. It's got silly combat moments. There was a lot of tense moments. I've never seen a ghost come back to life from the heart of a bat before.
Twice.
Yeah,
that's right. The first time they ate the heart of a bat.
It was amazing. It was a very fun speedrun to watch. I enjoyed it very much.
It's true. There's like a bit of everything, you know, Zelda, you know, classic Zelda, I guess you would say. Even though this isn't classic Zelda, but that's neither here nor there. This is like we get the sister and the sleeping Link up front, immediately jump into the ocean and swim across the entire side of the other side of the map and get a dungeon.
Well, and without a sword, too. Like that was the thing. I remember when we were watching the run. We were watching the first dungeon, and we had already done a few things out of order at that point. So you were definitely not supposed to be on Dragon Roost Island as early as you do get there.
As soon as you're done talking to your sister, we didn't even go talk to our grandma.
No, you didn't talk to grandma. You didn't get to meet the pirates or Nico or anyone else.
We didn't get to meet Nico. We barely saw Tetra.
Yeah, no, we saw Tetra for like 2 seconds in a cutscene when she was being carried away by birds. And that's
it was a good part, though.
It's a very good part. But the fact that we were watching the first dungeon and I remember us being like, hey, this looks like very optimal puzzle solving. But like, I think that's all it is. And it wasn't until after that suddenly Mr. Alberto was teleported to Forsaken Fortress that we realized, wait a second, he's now getting the sword. He did that entire first dungeon using nothing but breaking bottles on people's faces.
Rocks, and, you know, things of this nature.
Yeah, and then like grabbing their weapons and throwing them back in their faces. Like Link became John Wick for a dungeon.
Well, and the game straight up turns into... Game straight up turns into a first-person shooter at some points.
There are. That is true. Because like,
and that's bonkers.
Because, you know, and we were talking about, like, this can't go on for much longer, right? Like, this slow pace of because we were, you know, we did skip all of that stuff, but then eventually did go back to Forsaken Fortress, did go back to Outset. We really only stood on the beach of Outset, but we did it about three or four times to get to other places.
Is that the Hugger Tree?
Yeah, like once we get the grapple hook, it's over after that, because there is the classic super swim that Ruby alluded to, pausa, 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 where you get in the water and you pause, buffer your way forward, backward until you can swim mightily backwards, mightily fast.
Only once do you see it with the pausing, the pause buffering like that much, where it takes, what is it, a minute and a half?
Yeah, and
something like that. And then with the grapple hook, it just breaks everything, and suddenly you can just immediately super swim, and it's insane. I don't know how that works, but God, that blew my mind.
I think it's an HD only thing, but I cannot remember because we didn't watch the HD version. Which is, you know, because I also mentioned there was a strategy of using the Wind Waker as you slip off of a ledge, and that made it easier to do a super swim. But like, this is just, there's no setup. There's like practically nothing doing.
Yeah, and he really only grabbed, what, five or six items total. So it was really like the Wind Waker itself, the baton, the sword, and then I know going to the fairies, they were able to basically get expanded arrow and bomb bags for that final section. And
the leaf.
The leaf, like the
Korok leaf. We were debating whether they would even go to Forbidden Woods for the leaf. And they did, but they didn't actually go in the dungeon. They just got the leaf and got out.
Which is still insane to me. But outside of that, like, I don't think they really grabbed much else.
Yeah.
Didn't even need the Triforce. Just
don't need that Triforce. The thing that I found most baffling was the long sections of the pausing, where it seemed like the game was happening
right
behind the pause screen, and they were still hitting some certain buttons at some points. And there was some saving out and reloading, which I was a little fuzzy on what was happening.
A lot of times it was they got the room to a state they needed it to be in, to then do something. Because like we saw that with the final fight, where they were just like, okay, now we're going to get out of here and restart this, and now we have this thing.
Yeah, the one other place I noticed it being used, and this one I can't explain, is probably at the beginning, some of the teleports I don't understand, but there are other ones that specifically were because of save and quits. So in Legend of Zelda games, oftentimes it will set your last like checkpoint save point as being inside of a building or at the beginning of a dungeon or something like that, or the last major place you were. So my guess is that part of that was like, oh, the last place that I did a major save was on Outset Island. And then if I just like hard cut it here, they could still keep the progress but end up back at Outset.
Yeah. It still thinks that I am here because I haven't gotten the sail. So it takes me back to waking up with the king or something like that. Hey.
There's something about the Wind Waker art style. The sequence breaks are so cute. When he just runs up against a boulder and does a tiny little like dash around it and lands, like it's just, it's aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. There's that one on that one island where he went all the way around like some higher, right before he went through the door, did like a skip through the door, but he used a leaf and got around this area, and you both were like, "What the hell is going on?"
The leaf stuff is crazy.
That's not fair.
That was going up the wall of Forsaken Fortress, I'm pretty sure, because it was like using a mix of the pause, skipping back and forth, the grapple hook, then using the Wind Waker to go up ledges, and then the leaf to maintain that height and get around. So like all of the searchlights, all of the potential being arrested, like they didn't use that except for once when they used it to teleport to Forsaken Fortress
that
by
was
being arrested.
Stupid.
It was so ridiculous.
As soon as they got the grappling hook, they got out of there and went back to home island, starting island, jumped in the water and found a submarine, which the submarines are like, oh, cool, you'll get a piece of heart or some sort of upgrade or like a treasure chart here. I don't know why they would need it. They don't. They just get in trouble. And since the game thinks you're still on the forbidden beginning of the game, mm-hmm. you are sent to jail from a submarine in the middle of the ocean to
Forsaken Fortress, and suddenly you're there.
All right, cool.
You haven't met Tetra.
I'm glad you were able to speak, Ruby, during that, because I wasn't.
It's okay. Listen, you heard the first part of the episode where I was like, hey, we have a Patreon. I don't know what words are, and I've lost the plot. It's we're all just trying our best here. I got you. There were also, I feel like, we didn't do basically, we did a single major dungeon, and that was to get the grappling hook. And we didn't even finish it. It was just to get that item. And all the other dungeons and some of the really interesting puzzles, Brad, if you were wondering about being spoiled for this game, I promise you haven't been. mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, we go underwater, but like, we don't do the cool underwater stuff. We just jump through the barrier. Mm-hmm.
There's something so poetic about the most difficult trick, skip in the entire game, the one that causes the most problems, also being the final boss of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that just like kind of feels right about it. Because you could tell how excited Mr. Alberto got, because the body skip, the way it was explained to me is, okay, Link is dead, but if before your body hits the ground, you're able to, like, what is it, pause? How does he move up?
You're just mashing A.
It looked like he was mashing A or the analog stick back and forth and back and forth or something like that. I'm not sure.
It's such an old thing that I forget even, like, how it all works. It's mm-hmm. just like, oh, yeah, Ghost Link, right.
But gets all the way to the top of this super high, you know, this room he's in. And then he also has to drop a bomb and get the bats to drop hearts. Beautiful.
That was stupid.
That was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then he has to do it one more time, kind of, like to a lesser extent. But to do it twice.
I guess I just thought that there was going to be a heart up there, because I was explaining to you, like, you know, how it used to be used, like, in an impromptu way. And it was like, and then they would find a heart, and then we watch them bomb Keese in that moment for hearts. And it's just like, it all came together.
I just realized that Link, when in the air, is Schrodinger's Link, both alive and dead,
yes.
and hoping for a heart before his feet touch the ground.
Yeah,
it's true.
Who will he be when he lands? We don't know.
Yeah, and all the tension in the end. There were a few little things that happened, but that last dungeon with the first person shooter elements,
oh, man.
With the teleporting around, the cool cutscenes, like
some out of bounds stuff, really fun.
Yeah, that was probably one of the coolest final like stretches of a speedrun I've seen. And I would definitely agree with your assessment, Brad. I wouldn't say this is like the absolute best run that we've watched on the show, but it's freaking up there. Then again, I also, outside of the library, like that Halo Combat Evolved run, I still think
really
about
good.
On a, like the six in a row headshots.
There's it's nice how simple Wind Waker is too. Like, it's a pretty straightforward game. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of there might have been, but like a lot of things that random elements. You know, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, there's so many moving parts that if anything's out of place, it can go drastically wrong. Versus this one, there's five items in this room, and you know where they are. You kind of have a little bit of, you can predict it to an extent.
I mean,
it's nice having everything being very visually easy to see.
Okay,
and that's something
yes.
that the cel-shaded style really just, in general, that's why it works so well, is because there's a visual clarity to the game.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to allude to before, that it's hard to capture in words until you've watched the run. Of it's a run that beautifully uses glitches, but even when you are glitched out, you can still see the map, you can still see the world, and there's something about it that just makes it so much easier for the brain to translate. Even if you don't necessarily mm-hmm. know what's happening, it still looks really cool and interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. when they were on the Forbidden Woods Island, and they did that thing where they just kind of swoop their way into the water. And like it looks so I didn't follow it. I was like, that's insane. I don't understand how they did that. And then they did it a second time. And once I saw every bit of it, I was like, oh, I see what happened. I see how they've done this. You can kind of see them inside of the geometry of the island itself. They're just in the water underneath everything. And then they just kind of pop out at the entrance. Okay. Yeah, it makes perfect sense now. Yeah, you're right. It is kind of easy to follow along with.
Yeah, and the parts that you don't understand are still freaking impressive.
Yeah.
Do we know why the grapple hook and hugging a tree allows you to glitch into a fairy fountain that you shouldn't access yet? No. Is it cool? Yes.
Yes.
It's similar enough to the super swim that we're like, yeah, that's how it works. And mm-hmm. and then at the end, we saw them doing the first person shooter stuff with the arrow because we never got the bow, but they pick up the light arrow, which gives them a bow. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got the bow. Oh, okay, cool. Great.
God. Well, okay. So I know that Brad and I have both said this is easily, and like for Brad, it's favorite from the podcast. I would say this is in my top three that we've watched for sure. Luigi, where's it fallen for you now that you've especially seen the updated version?
It's up there. I'd say it would beat at least most of the Zeldas we've watched.
Breath of the Wild's a pretty wild run.
Not the first Breath of the Wild, but I would say it beats second Breath of the Wild, the updated run we watched. So, yeah, like it's I think it's probably like the most Zelda-ass Zelda speedrun we've seen. Like we just, like I said, it's kind of like that sampler platter of Zelda. You got a little bit of everything, including like inexplicable, do not know why they just did that, but I get that it helped sort of tricks too. So yeah, this is probably one of the better watchability, as far as from a watchability perspective, like it's pretty good, I think.
Yeah. And to anyone who is looking for just really, really great Legend of Zelda games that at this point have a ridiculous amount of resources available just because so many people have been running it for several years, this is a great one to look at, especially if you're trying to go more classic Zelda, but not like too far back. I've been trying to figure out like a Legend of Zelda game that I actually want to run. And honestly, I'm kind of stuck between this and Breath of the Wild, unsure about which I want to go through. So like, but seeing this, I'm like,
this looks like a lot of fun. I mean, up until the boss fight, up until you get those two, you have to get a bomb just right. And you have to get one of those little jumpy spindly guys just right. Like, get out of here.
I'd be curious to see the categories. I might try a different category for this.
I would love to do the rando. It's just, it always feels good to play this game. It feels great. I don't know. I think that Brad and I were talking about Okami a few weeks back and like how they were probably looking at this game the most when they made their Zelda game. They nailed the like, oh, this has to feel really good to play. Mm-hmm. And it does. Like, this game feels great. So I could probably just play randomizer after randomizer after randomizer all day.
Yeah, and I think that something else you said earlier, too, is so accurate of until Breath of the Wild, as far as 3D Zeldas, this has some of the best animation overall for the characters that we've seen. So it doesn't just feel good to play. It also feels more natural to watch, which I just... It's another one of those things that age well with the game. So, yeah.
Link is great in this game.
Yeah. Well, outside of Legend of Zelda, because I feel like at this point we probably need to give Hobbs at least a few months away from it so we don't scare him off again.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it next time. Let's do it the next episode.
Hey, you missed Wind Waker. We're doing Wind Waker 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
We're doing... Phantom Hourglass.
No, shut your mouth. Well, actually, no, it's not Spirit Tracks. I have feelings about Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, I like Phantom Hourglass.
I like Phantom Hourglass, but I think a speed run of that game would drive me crazy.
It probably would suck unless you were able to just break through to the bottom of the Temple of the Ocean King right away. It would just be a lot of back and forth. Yeah, that would probably be pretty awful. I like the Temple of the Ocean King. Everyone else can shut up. The Temple of the Ocean King's great. So
I also like it, but as a speed run, I can't. If it's just that and doing it like 15 times, I would
never.
No, that would be ridiculous.
But I would, you know what? I would watch someone do an end game run through the Temple of the Ocean King because it is kind of a speed run. You are sort of running, racing against the clock. So there's maybe something there, but that's neither here nor there. I just want to make Hobbs play that awful game now because that would be hilarious.
Hey, Hobbs, play it, do it. Play. And Brad, I'm hoping that you're going to pick up Wind Waker at some point just to kind of take in some of the story.
I own it.
Yes, good.
I'm sure you haven't played it because Dylan probably won't shut up if he finds out you're playing it.
Yeah, you know how he is with his GameCube games, but... You know, if there's just not enough hours in the day, Ayuden Chronicle comes out next, and I'm very excited for that. The spiritual successor to Suikoden that I backed on Kickstarter 2 years ago. Oh. Very excited.
See,
and
that's
then,
like your ogre battle for me, right?
That's my favorite game series of all time.
Yeah.
There's not enough hours. I haven't played Spider-Man 2, and I don't want to tell Hobbs I'm playing that because then he'll never shut up about it.
Oh, God, you're right.
Don't let him listen to the episode.
If you play Unicorn Overlord, I'll never shut up.
Yeah.
So, Brad, when you're not here talking about awesome video games, where else do you talk about awesome video games?
Not at work as often as I should. I think a lot of people on the construction site would look at me weird if I talked about how cute Wind Waker was. But otherwise, you can check out my other...
He's a murderous pirate.
There's this pirate and he just... He can swim across an ocean really fast.
They catapult his ass into an island, like secret agent style, in a barrel. It's crazy.
Imagine going into a war zone without a sword.
Yeah.
You can find me on my other podcast. It's called Hair of the Dogcast. There's a lot of fun episodes about video games and beer. We recently did one on Balatro. We have Elden Ring. Our Elden Ring series is on like episode 34, 35. And it ain't slowing down. It's that awkward in between the DLC and the main game where we kind of finished everything. So we're on part 7 of the bestiary. And it's getting a little wacky. And mostly we just talk about who'd be the best basketball players at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the Zamor. We think the Zamor would be the best.
It's the flying gargoyles.
No, they're not tall enough. And they actually can't fly that well either. But Hair of the Dogcast, check it out. All those things. I'd love to have you check it out.
Yes. And Luigi, what games are you playing and where can people find you if they want to hear more of you?
Patreon.com/possiblybad.
Yes, good.
In the Discord, on the internet, talking about speedruns. And I'll be playing Unicorn Overlord. Thank you very much. So get at me in the Discord if you want to talk about Unicorn Overlord. Tell Dylan to at me and tell me about his unicorns.
You guys can start your Unicorn Overlord podcast.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I'll do that. I'll probably be on Remember 64 at some point to talk about Rush and Rush 2.
Rush 2 has the greatest stunt track in the history of Nintendo 64.
We were talking about how Balatro like might be your religion. Rush 2 stunt mode is my religion.
We played way too much of that. It wasn't even high school, in my 20s.
Yeah, so that was in my 20s as well. Like I had a roommate who, like, we had a list of the records of who had scored the most points during 300-second timer and the 999 unlimited timer.
Only stunt track, though.
Only stunt track. All we did. Because I played it in the arcades and did racing. It's a fun racing game.
It's fine.
Get the fuck out. Stunt mode is the best.
It's like ridiculous.
You hit corners and like you make your car like do like corkscrew and like it counts. It keeps track of how many flips you did and
it's
like
so
has
dumb.
Multipliers.
It's so dumb.
It's the best. It's the absolute fucking best.
That's very Carmageddon era kind of car point score.
Carmageddon.
Carmageddon, that's a throwback, isn't it?
That game is awful. Carmageddon 64, speaking of Remember 64, I did cover that. You could go listen to my old episodes of me on Remember 64 when we played Carmageddon 64, and it was awful. Oh.
Do it. And then...
Excuse me.
Everyone go check out Hobbs. So he can't be with us because we scared him away with Zelda, but you can find him by just Googling J Hobbs. He's J Hobbs 296 on Twitch and a million other kinds of J Hobbs everywhere else. Hey,
you know what? I've never seen Hobbs and Ganondorf in the same place at the same
Whoa.
Time.
Hobbs and Dorf?
Oh.
Hurry, Ruby, tell us where I can find you before this gets crazy.
My name's Ruby Hart. You can find me at twitch.tv/RubyHart. You can also find me here or doing interviews with Patels and Games Done Quick. I am a actor, streamer, speedrunner, and a very broken, tired
and a sleepy
bean
person.
Right now. I'm a sleepy bean, apparently. Basically, right now, I'm doing a lot of trying to prep the games that I submitted for Games Done Quick. We'll know on April 26th what that games list looks like. So keeping fingers crossed for that. So I've been playing a lot of Hades, a lot of Overcooked 2, and a lot of Titan Souls. And now that I know Suck Up exists, I'm probably going to try and speedrun that just because the idea of a voice acting speedrun is incredibly appealing to me.
Yeah.
See, there's an incentive for your couch to read along with you.
Well, here's the thing. They could probably read the NPCs. I would need to do all of my own stuff because that's literally the gameplay. So
yeah,
that would be fun.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. Well, from us here, from all of us who are duct taped and glitter glued together, to you all at home playing some amazing games, keep hanging out with each other, keep having fun, and go fast.
Gotta go fast.
What do we always say?
Oi!
Go fast.
Go fast.
Don't know, Luigi. I ain't got nothing. I got nothing, Luigi. What do you always say?
Tie your shoes.
That's the worst
That's
one.
That's the end. That's the end. Nope. Having a heart attack on their back. Okay.